from NPR Music. This is Alt Latino. This is a track from Politico, the upcoming album from the Mexican Institute of Sound. This is a track called Mexico, and we're playing this track because we have the entire Institute of Sound with us today as our guest DJ. Actually, it's just one guy behind the concept, Camilo Lara. Camilo, welcome to Alt Latino.
Oh, thank you very much, Felix. Great to be with you here.
¿Cuánto tiempo va a pasar para que pueda mejorar? Todos somos víctimas de un estado confiscado con un gobierno involucrado en las ganancias del narco. Es una nación podrida con la población herida. México.
Before we get into Camilo's picks for this guest DJ segment, I need to mention that my partner in this show, Jasmine Garz, is not here. She's out on vacation. So it's just Camilo and I spinning records and talking and wishing Jasmine was here to enjoy all this great music. Let's hear the rest of this track, and when we come back, Camilo, tell us about your new album.
Eso es el Chapo. Tus hijos ya son sicarios. Muérdete la lengua que hay 30 muertos en Veracruz. Es todo un placer y orgullo saber que el turno es tuyo. Que quizás mañana ya no llegues vivo a tu casa. México. Rojo tu sangre, estado fallido campeón, orgullosos patios traseros, al sonoro rugir del cañón, y se siembre con tus manos la hierba, al sonoro rugir del cañón, y se siembre con tus manos la hierba. Al sonoro rugir del cañón. México.
Okay, that was the track Mexico from the Mexican Institute of Sound's new album. Again, with us is Camilo Lara, who's the guy behind the concept of Mexican Institute of Sound. Again, Camilo, welcome to Alt Latino.
Hi, Felix. How are you?
I'm good.
Really good to be here with you.
Thanks for coming, man. Camilo joins us from our bureau in Culver City, NPR West. And Camilo, tell us about this track. What is the name of the track and the name of the album, and what is the idea behind this track?
Well, this track is called Mexico. I start recording this record like a year ago, and imagine that next to my house suddenly I start seeing like helicopters on top of my house and a lot of police, like really professional policemen outside my house, and next to my room where I sleep they found out 4 tons of explosive C4.
Wow.
Which was held by some guys from Somalia, and they were planning a terrorist attack. So that made me think that politics are living in my next to my house or in my house, and not only Mexican day by day kind of problems, like all kind of problems, from terrorism to like devaluation on coins and currencies and all this thing. So I decided to create this album that speaks from my point of view and is not necessarily like a manifesto, but it is definitely my perspective on what I see. And I want to create an album that has this kind of furious principles, like any other record that I like. I like, for example, The Clash, Sandinista, that I think is the ultimate political album that has a little bit of message, but it has more, it's more rabid than with a whole manifesto on inside. No, I don't want to be Bob Geldof. I just wanted to have something from my perspective of how I see things.
Are you hearing other musicians addressing what's going on in Mexico with the violence and with the political turmoil, that stuff that's going on? Are you hearing other people address that?
Yeah, totally. I'm part of a movement called Yo Soy 132, which is I Am 132, which is a student movement that is happening all over the country. And the whole idea of this movement is to let media to be more open and to show, to be more plural on the information, so and to have a better country. So I guess most of the artists are joining this initiative, and there's a lot of people involved, and suddenly some journalists start saying, like, there was the new wave of Mexican music was people without content, and suddenly you start seeing all these people that sings about what they're seeing, and it's very interesting. I guess most of the new artists are totally into saying, trying to have a message into their music.
Let's hear a song that you brought in. What track do you want to start off with? Something that you brought in today.
Which one is your favorite?
You know, I'm old school, so I really dig the Drume Negrita.
Oh, good. Well, let's go for it.
Okay.
I love Bola de Nieve.
This is Drume Negrita from the artist, the Cuban artist, Bola de Nieve.
Salen los pies la cunita y la negra mece, ya no sabe qué hacer. Tu drume negrita que yo va a comprar nueva cunita que va a tener capite. Que va a tener caca de. Si tu drumi yo te traigo un mamey muy colorado. Y si no drumi yo te traigo un babalao que da pau pau. Tu drumi negrita. Que yo va a comprar nueva cunita, que va a tener capite, que va a tener cacabe. Traigo un mamey muy colorado. Y si no drumi, yo te traigo un babalao que da pau pau. Tu drume negrita que yo va a comprar nueva cunita que va a tener capite. Que va a tener.
That was Drume Negrita from the Cuban pianist and vocalist Bola de Nieve. Okay, Camilo, that song surprises me that you would choose that. Because, you know, just based on, you know, your eclectic music appreciation, you know, and some of the other songs that you brought, I guess deep down, you know, you are still a fan of the song.
Oh, totally.
You know, like the song is the building block of all successful music.
Yeah, I'm a true believer on the songs. I think that's the difference between crowd rock and David Bowie, or you will remember Bjork, and you won't remember all the experimental artists that were behind Bjork, and that's for me the legacy of an artist, the creation of a good song, and I mean. Don't get me wrong, I love people experimentating with sounds, but at the end, the song is the only thing that can give order to a bunch of experimentation. So song is the king. I always believe that. And for me, Bola de Nieve is one of the top artists in the Spanish-speaking world that has this powerful, beautiful songs, and this song is one of my favorites, probably out of all the songs I have heard in my life.
Bola de Nieve was a Cuban pianist who was popular in the, I guess, the 40s and the 50s in Cuba, and throughout Latin America. And this song, Drume Negrita, is
it's a lullaby.
Lullaby that is. Becomes popular as a popular song. I've heard Latin jazz artists do it. It's a fantastic song.
Yeah, he was an amazing, interesting, and at the same time, very ahead of his time artist. Imagine doing this on back in those days. It was and. It was very interesting. He's amazing.
Interesting for the fact that he makes reference to the country's Afro-Cuban culture,
right?
And when popular music was not exactly friendly to the Afro-Cuban culture at that time,
right?
Let's transition now to another song that you brought in. What do you want to play next?
Well, I would go. With this beautiful song from a band called Smoth. It is this band from Mali, I guess, and they're amazing. They work with Manu Chao on this record. And the reason I choose this song is because I think nowadays music is... travel so much, and you can find and be connected with music like this that you don't understand what they're singing about, but music is so powerful that you have it gets connected with people all over the world. So I guess the same sensation that I got when I listened to Smoth, some people had with my music in Finland where they don't understand what I'm singing about.
This is the group Smoth, and the song is Ka Chante.
Kati, motseka kechena hite lati, mami ikundinga cholo kene piki lati, ite miri doni jene pi aksini, ifa iba iko nungwa hundini, mula hite nyani saka dwa hute kwabi, nibo fige bi, drogu ni gromi, drole ke kiteri hula hali tara fengini, nima ke mumuni, ibe ke wali tingi ikroshi pingo gomla, ili minu kati, wana iko dute biti, wana ya fie, bade ya chungu, ngache, ukwani mani,
세계는 거의 해래 구스쿱에 따라가 마스쿱에 퍼라 마스무니 먹고까지 디디
Mogo ti bali ka vomina, kanato kachinye chesan. Mogo ti bali ka vomina, kanato kachinye chesan. Mogo tambala ka vomina, antapo kachinye chesan.
Mogo tete di ma fenye tre, sa fe fende ye. Nini blafo gache, imbalo bala. Ala ninye wo yafe, indesra fembela. Rapu kwa ni kote, fari tempo kefio.
Did you like that record?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
It's amazing.
No, that song was interesting. That album was interesting in the way it was like a crossroads to me. A crossroads of the different cultures and the different influences and the way, you know, like there was an element of Manu Chao, but it didn't dominate. It's like he just sort of added an experience.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know if that's how you heard it.
Totally, totally. Because, I mean, he really did the producing job, you know, like... It was not typical Manu Chao. It was more of a producer.
La vérité, le rêve de ma vie est devenu incontournable à tous ceux qui aiment la paix, l'union dans leur pays.
Mogo ti bali ka vomina, kanato kachinye chesan. Mogo ti bali ka vomina, kanato kachinye chesan. Mogo tambala ka vomina, antafo kachinye chesan. Mogo tambala ka vomina.
Manu Chao is one of those legendary figures. Is he one of the artists that you listened to when you were growing up or as you discovered music? I mean, at what point, who were some of the people that you were listening to when you were discovering the music like that?
Yeah, totally. I think Manu was a big influence, and I worked with him on the last Mano Negra and the first Manu Chao solo album. So he's probably the very first worldwide artist, the very first one that sing in other languages that were not English and succeed all over the world in the last decades. So he's an interesting spirit, and he's very like a people that you can smire, admire and great friend. Also from my generation, I was listening to a lot of like Maldita Vecindad from Mexico, which is a great band, and at the same time I was listening to the beginning of electronica, probably this Manchester sound, like Happy Monday, Stone Roses, The Real People, The Spiral Carpets, all these UK bands, and the beginning of hip hop, like really old school hip hop, like De La Soul or A Tribe Called Quest or the Leaders of the New School, and I was listening to that at home. But outside, when I went out on my neighborhood, you could listen to cumbia a lot. So I guess when I started doing music, I was like, oh, I wanna be like Can or like Kraftwerk, but it all sounds like cumbia at the end, and it was a curse. I was like, I have to get rid of my cumbia roots. And after a while, I was like, well, it's not that bad. I'm gonna start like trying to do some things with cumbia, and that's how I started.
It always blows my mind that how cumbia is the lingua franca, you know, the international language for artists all over Latin America, and in different styles of cumbia. Because, you know, I'm Mexican American and growing up in California, and it was, you know, I grew up listening to Sonora Santanera, like really old school, straight ahead cumbia. And it's just fascinating to me how artists like yourself and so many others are taking that cumbia and just like recreating and identifying it with it and creating a whole new sound.
Well, cumbia is the only rhythm that goes from Argentina to Canada. And the only reason that I have that I have this theory that it's probably because it's the only democratic rhythm, and it's the only rhythm that people can dance without any skills at all. I mean, you can be pretty and not like a really bad dancer like myself, and still do some nice cumbia moves. Because when you learn, when you dance salsa, you have to be like a professional. Yeah, or when you dance a tango, you have to like have some experience. Or a danzón, or reggaeton, you have to be pretty. Otherwise, you look horrible doing that. But with cumbia, it's pretty. Even the rhythm is very simple, and you can basically, without any knowledge or training, you can do good. And you see the cumbia, it's all over the continent, from Argentina with the cumbia villera, in Colombia with the cumbia vallenata, in Mexico with our own cumbia, or the chicha, which is a different cumbia. It's probably the equivalent to the Mexican, to the Latin American hip hop, in a way.
Yeah.
And you can listen it only on the streets. It's not that mainstream media or TV or radio picks up cumbia all the time in Latin America. It's really an underground thing. You hear it on parties and you hear it on the street.
It's one of the first moves I learned to bust, man.
Yeah.
My aunt showed me how to do the cumbia. This is Cumbio Meguro from the album Politico from the Mexican Institute of Sound. Thank you. Before we get into another track, because one of the ideas behind the guest DJ is to bring in some music. We ask you to bring in some music, and you did bring in some music, so we can kind of get an idea of what your musical DNA is. But before we do that, I think we should point out that you're also a professional in the music industry as well. There are not many of those kind of combinations in the music business. And like for my generation, what that reminds me of is somebody like Herb Albert, you know?
You know what? It's funny because I had dinner with the guys from Radiohead some months ago. And they always tell me that, like, you're the Mexican Herb Albert. And I'm like, is that good or bad? And after digesting that comparison, I conclude it's good. But yeah, because I've been working on the music business for a long time. I started when I was probably 15 years old.
Wow.
And I started on EMI. I spent more time on EMI than at my parents' house. and the thing is that I spend all that time to have money to buy records. So it's a whole circle of a process, and I like it. I think that's the way it should be. Like A&R people and record industry people should be musicians, because that's the only way you can test and try and experience the whole thing and understand it. No, I think it would be a better world if musicians were the record industry. No?
Let's continue with more music. What else do you want to hear that you brought in from your list? Because this is it's quite an eclectic list.
Well, I want to play a band from California from the 80s. And this was one of the very first things that I was completely obsessed with. And this band is called Suburban Lungs. And this song is called Janitor. And they were a band signed on IRS Records. And never heard of them again, and I've been trying to look for these guys. So I hope you like it. I think it's really awesome.
This is the band Suburban Lawns with the track Janitor. That's a very distinct sound. I mean, like, there's no question, Camilo, when that album was recorded.
Oh yeah, it's a Sony Wave. It hurts.
When you were listening to a lot of that music when it was coming out and it was all new?
Yeah, it was like probably like 6 or 7, and my older brother used to be in a new wave band. He was in a band called Bon y los Enemigos del Silencio, and he was friends with the Caifanes and Maldita Vecindad and all these guys that were starting doing music. So I was very close to that, and I grew up, instead of listening to the Teletubbies of the time, I listened to from the Smiths to all the new wave things. I was a big fan of Bauhaus and Tons and Tales and all the goth scene. That was my kids' soundtrack.
I wonder how many people in the world are like have their older siblings to thank for their musical influences, you know?
Yeah. No, and it's funny because the first vinyl I bought was Quiet Riot, Common Feel the Noise, and the second one was a kids TV show called Burbujas, which later on my life I discovered it was made by Esquivel, which was a big influence to me, and he's probably one of the people that I truly admire, and he's probably my favorite Mexican ever.
Let's talk a little bit about him for people who don't know about him. Esquivel was I guess you would say a producer arranger, right?
Yeah, he was everything.
in the period of time, I guess it would be 1960s, early 1960s, where he's as an interesting parallel to the music that you're doing too, because he was taking advantage of the advances in technology at that time, with the stereo, with the stereo separation, with all the experiments, and he would have these massive orchestras. Listening to him in retrospect, because I'm a big fan of Esquivel, and listening to him in retrospect, man, he was so far ahead of his time. He was thinking about how to use the technology with the music.
Yeah, he has this story that he recorded two orchestras at the same time to create the stereo sound. So imagine how crazy he was, that he had monitors, TV monitors, to try to conduct two orchestras at the same time. So he was quite a character. I met him when he was in bed. He was like 78 or 79 when I met him, and we became good friends. And for me, that was it's been really sad that he hasn't got the recognition of the artist he was, no? And especially in Mexico, that he did the soundtrack for Burbujas, but he was never recognized as a truly, like, visionary. And he was such a character. I mean, even when he was in bed because he broke his hip, he was still writing music and doing things he wanted to do, a new track, a new masterpiece, that what he was saying this was his masterpiece, and it was called Guacamole. So and he became a good friend. He became like the punk grandfather that I didn't got.
One of the songs that you brought in today was also a song that Jasmine brought in a while back, and we don't mind playing it because it's really a great song. This is the group Pegasus, right?
Yes. Yeah. A girl from Argentina and a guy from Barcelona.
La Melodía de Afilidor.
Oh, they're amazing. For me, it's one of the best records of the year.
I enjoyed that track the first time I heard it, and I'm enjoying it again. And it makes me wonder, like, how do you have time to discover new music now? With where before it was part of your job as a record executive, but now as a musician, I often hear musicians say that I'm so busy with creating my own music that you don't get a chance to go out and hear new bands and everything. How do you get to hear new music?
Nowadays, it's way more easy to find cool music, and I like places like SoundCloud, that I can have this kind of community with people creating music, and you can hear a lot of what they're doing. and it's music that is fresh out of the oven. So you can have the music from the creator, and he's great. The problem is that there's a lot, so it takes a lot of time to do it. But what I usually do is I travel a lot, so I do my pile of music, and I listen to it on the plane or in a car, and you always can find time to do it. No, it's something that keeps your brain your antenna alert on what is happening.
Can I ask you that when you hear stuff that you really like, send us an email, man. You know, if it's a band that you think that we should be checking out, you know.
Oh, I will.
Send us a link and all that.
I will, because it happens to me at least once a month, something that stands up and said like, oh, okay, this is really good.
Camilo Lara, thank you so much for joining us here on Alt Latino as a guest DJ, and we want to welcome you back anytime when you have a chance.
It's been a pleasure. I'm a big fan of your program, and it's great to be here.
Thank you, man. We want to remind you that you can hear all the songs from today's shows on our website at npr.org/altlatino, and we also want to remind you again about Alt Latino Radio. It's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week stream where you can hear all the songs we've ever played on the show. You can find that, again, at npr.org/altlatino. We want to thank our producers, Jessica Goldstein and Mike Katziff, and a shout-out to my partner in this show, Jasmine Gars. Hurry back. Thanks again, Camilo. What song do you want to end on for today's show?
I guess I would go with, let's say, this track that it's from the 70s, from Peter Tosh, which is a big influence to me. And I like this song because for me this is the real political track. No, it has this innocence and this, but this. It's a furious track, and it's beautiful, and it's called Here Comes the Judge.
Peter Tosh, a legend in the music. This is his track, Here Comes the Judge.
Here comes the judge. Hear ye him.
Oye, oye, God save the African king. Anyone have anything to say before this just judge? Come say it now and say it like a glad, and not like a mad. For this judge have no mercy in this time.
Court's in session, silence in the court. The court's in session, silence in the court. The court's in session, silence in the court. The court's in session.
Christopher Pumbalas.
Yes, sir.
Francis Drake.
Yes, my lord.
Bartholomew de las Casas.
Your honor.
Vasco da Gama.
Present. Majesty.
Alexander, so-called the great.
I am here.
John Hanin.
Sir.
James Grant.
Your honor.
David Livingstone.
Yes, present. Miranda, present.
John Constantine.
Yes, sir.
Henry Martin.
Your honor.
Barbara Pola.
Yes, sir.
Now say after me. I solemnly swear that the evidence I shall give shall be the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God.
Silence in the court, the court's in session. 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 Silence in the court. Court's in session. Silence in the court. The court's in session. Silence in the court. The court's in session.
You're all brought here and count one. Robbing and raping Africa. Phantom. Two. Stealing black people out of Africa. Three. Brainwashing black people. Four. Holding black people in captive for more than 300 years. Five, killing over 50 million black people without a cause. Six, teaching black
black people to hate themselves.
Guilty execution, Your Honor.
If any of you have anything to say before this execution, say it quick, say it glad. This judge is getting impatient.
Yeah, yeah, it's only
contempt.
It's only 10 and 20.
No mercy. Penalty for all this. Each of you must be hung by the tongue.
But Your Honor, we've been forced.
Contempt. Appeal will be accepted.
Silence in the court. The court's in session. Silence in the court. The court's in session. Silence in the court. The court's in session.
Court adjourned.